us. This is my husband, James. You may stand. He is my definitely better half. Anybody who knows him will say that I'm telling you the truth. I'm Kathy Creek. The rest of it, I don't know what I'll say. I will say this. Before we got married, we had, there's a Barry. This is Barry Jensen, the papa of this clan. Give him a hand. Woo-hoo! They're in Ukraine and, what do they call it? The uttermost parts. And their sons are stellar. I just don't know what else to say. You need to get to know the sons. And each one has their own specialness in God, don't they? Yeah, I've learned to really know and appreciate them. So before James and I got married, I was talking to him about the call that was on my life. I said, I know I have the world in my heart. So, you know, I don't know. Do you want to marry that? I was giving him a chance to get out, you know. I said to him, what do you feel like you're called to do? And without even, I mean, he didn't skip a beat. He didn't hem and haw. He didn't go um. He said, I'm called to help you. So if you wonder about this team, we are indeed a team. He's my, you know, we call people who this church partners with us. Your pastors partners with us financially. But he is, of all my partners, and this church is very generous with us, by the way. I will say that. Thank you very much. He's my biggest contributing partner. He'll put his whole paycheck into the ministry. So I didn't want you to think he was diminished in any way. We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for God in James and James obeying God. Hallelujah. And I always love when he can come with me. This fall, I'm so excited. We have, from early days in prayer, I prayed out things about France and Francophone, which means French-speaking nations, nations where people speak French. Do you know where the largest French-speaking, and those of you who know, don't say. Do you know what the largest French-speaking nation is in the world? I'm waiting for a right answer. Well, Africa isn't exactly a nation, but you're close. Did I bring my smiley buttons? Maybe I need my smiley buttons out. Where are you, smiley buttons? No. When somebody said Africa, they were close. But Africa is a continent with many nations. So you have to find a nation in Africa. The largest French-speaking nation in the world is in Africa. South Africa's English speaking. Why do I have to come and do geography lessons? What's wrong with our school system? Nigeria's English speaking. Chad is a very small country, but you are right, it is French speaking. Who said that? I'll give it to you just to get on down the road. Google Girl and Google Boy. And the largest French-speaking continent is... Who said Canada? Africa. I'm going to give Barry a button because he got it right. Good on you, Barry. This is not in my notes. I was just sitting there, and God said, you better tell them a little bit about what you're doing. So this is what you get. Hallelujah. I have permission from the Holy Ghost to go as long as it takes, Pastor, even though there is a luncheon, because Cindy leaned over and said to me, take as long as it takes. And I said, but there's a luncheon. She says, it doesn't matter. It'll be all right. Take as long as it takes. Well, I assumed he was speaking through her. I mean, if you're God and Jesus Christ, then she can be the Holy Ghost. But Pastor Gary, give me a dirty look if I get to going too long here. I don't know if it'll help you at all, but give me one. Oh, should we just pack up and go home, dear? This whole trip, we started out this way on the road. James was so funny, my sides ached getting here, and I just knew that's the way this would go. And then Cindy flipped out last night. If you didn't get to see Cindy flip out, you've missed half your life. Didn't Ekim do an awesome job last night? Him and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. I loved that. He was just speaking my heart. Anyway, to tell you about France, I mean, we go to many nations, but this is next on our radar screen as far as overseas goes. We have worked with a couple, I don't know if any of you know them, John and Laura Madden, for years and years and years, and since 1989. And they're apostles to Francophone. And so they've been very instrumental in the developing schools and things, the Rhema schools in recent years in Francophone. And... So he got in his heart to start a healing school in his church. And he wanted me, when I came, I go pretty much every year, he wanted me to kick it off, you know, the beginnings of it. And so I did, and it was, you know, who was it that was saying, Jeff, about what are the purpose of these meetings? Well, for us to get blessed. And have you been blessed already? You've been dead if you haven't been blessed. I don't know. It's just been good. And it's getting gooder. But then he said, but really, that the core, the whole point of Harvest Point is the harvest. And so, you know, that's what the fivefold ministry is supposed to do, is to prepare the laborers for the harvest, right? Why am I saying this? Oh, so John and Laura are real outreachy, and they have such success. I can't even tell you all the stuff that they do in their city and everywhere they go. And so when he instructed me, he said, I want you to come and minister to those who have physical needs. But he said, really, I want to have the focus I want to have is to prepare my people to go out in the streets and minister healing. Don't you like that? And that it gets something in me. Ooh, I'm not an evangelist, but I wish I were. There's the name just goes. Ugh. So I don't know, just something about that instruction made me adjust slightly. I just taught classic stuff, name of Jesus, laying on of hands. No big deal. Big deal. That's the biggest deal there is, huh? Yeah, and so we had good results. We always do in John's church. He has really, really a good work. And so then, la la la, life goes on, and I get this email in French from a person I've never heard from. Somebody say, thank God for Google. Now, you can't trust Google Translate a whole bunch, but I know a little bit of French, so I kind of know how to work with Google to get a sense out of it, you know. So, you know, a lot of times you get these letters from, you don't know who's writing you and if they're legitimate, you know. I don't know if you know that, I'm telling you. So who do I go to? My man, John. And I said, who is this guy? What is this deal? Well, somebody told him about the meetings we had with John. And he is all over France. He is established healing homes. Ooh. You guys, you don't know. You have no idea how I've poured out my heart on this whole healing thing. Me and Shelley were sisters in this. And so John says, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. And I guess he'd heard about it, and he invited me. They're having a conference. Anybody ever heard of Toulouse-Lautrec? Not a very nice guy. But anyway, I say that because I couldn't get my husband to understand where we were going. We're going to go to Toulouse, France, and doing a conference with this man. There'll be another speaker at least, maybe others too. And he wants me to teach on faith and healing. And he has, you know, the thing is, a lot of times when you go into these nations, you and you're not a national, you weren't born there, you know, you will attract expats. And so, now, what did I say the largest French-speaking continent was? Help me. Continent. Nation, Congo. Continent, Africa. So, in France, many of these works that are doing well, the membership is made up of French-speaking African. You know what an expat is, right? They were born in Africa, but now they're living in France. And so it's always, I mean, we prayed about this for years, worked on it for years. Oh, Jesus is coming soon, I'm telling you guys. You think I'll ever get to my notes? You need to see my heart. You know, that was I don't know if any of you know Patsy Bierman Caminetti, but when I first started working with her and she started turning me loose in the pulpit, Lord bless her, she must have chewed her nails. But anyway, she just shoved me out there. She said, let them see your heart. And Jeff was talking about that yesterday, about hiding your heart. Because you think you can protect it. How's that working for you? See, if it's fear, it's not faith. And if you're doing it, it's the arm of the flesh. And so you're going to end up in a worse mess than if you just go, bring it on. God's my protector. He's my defender. He's my lover. He takes care of me. because really the only good part of you and me is our heart. So why are you hiding the best part? You say, oh, my heart is broken. Well, we know what you mean by that, but really it's your soul. If you're born again, your heart's perfect. Your heart's doing fine. Now, your heart might still be growing up, mine is. Jeff's heart's already grown up, but I'm still growing up. Nobody say amen. But it's your soul. It's your soul. But I'm telling you what, if you'll open your heart and trust God, your soul will be restored. If you want your soul restored, what you've been calling your broken heart and your troubles and your depression and your la 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 and the list goes on, open up your heart, because that's where the source of your restoration comes from. That if you are broken in body, that's the source of your healing. Your healing's not in heaven. Your healing dwells in you. We were singing that song, all the stuff that comes out of the fountain of God. Do you know where the fountain is? And I'll give you just another little clue if you want to get further down the road faster. With joy, you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. You're not going to get healing up out of your well by going, "Boo-hoo, I'm sick, I hurt." See, this is what happened to Cindy last night. I'm just going to have to tell you. She knew it, I knew it. Who was it that had the rose socks on? Is she here this morning? I don't know. Cindy and I thought that was funny. It matched the shirt. It was really a cute outfit. But we just got over in the river of joy. And what, 4 weeks ago? 3.5 weeks ago, she had knee replacement surgery. And she's up dancing on her stupid knee. Then she's up running around, laying hands on everybody. I looked at Jeff. He looked at me. He just rolled his eyes. I wanted this a whole morning. I've been wanting to sing that song. I'm full of joy and I got the victory. You know, your guys don't know it, huh? They need to learn some Keith Moore songs. You need to learn some Keith Moore songs. Do you know that song? I'm full of joy and I've got the victory. I'm full of joy and got the victory. Help me, Adrian. And I've got the victory now. Nothing can keep me down. Nothing can make me sad or wear a frown. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory now. You guys could play that, couldn't you? You could learn that. Absolutely. Where's my tambourine? You think I'm going to get to my notes, Cindy? Let's teach it. Everybody stand up. Adrienne, get up here and help me sing this. Get it in the right key and everything. Start and I'll go with you.
Are you guys singers?
Full of joy and I've got
the victory. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory now. Nothing but nothing, nothing can keep me down. Wear a frown. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory now. So let's do the hallelujah part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give all the glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Give all the glory to God.
I'm full of joy and I've got the victory.
Full of joy and I've got the victory. Full of joy and I've got the victory now.
Nothing but nothing.
Nothing can keep me down. Nothing can make me sad or wear a frown. Full of joy and I've got the victory now. Woo! Amen.
Thank you. You can sit down. Stay up on the inside. We'll let you. I don't know something about. I wish I could remember what phrase it was that Ekin was using last night. And I thought, you know, you're looking for victory. Where's the victory? Victory is like you've got to pull it on from the outside. You got the victor living on the inside of you. When you were born again, you were born of the same substance as the victor. So you've got the victory now. Oh, some of you don't believe this. What is that, Ekin? I know last night you kept moving around. Did you ever find a hot spot? All of you that are sitting back there going, you're the ones that need to be going, yeah! Woo! And so, we have these expat churches being taught the word of faith in France, but what about the Frenchmen? And so we've been working on this in faith and prayer for years and years and years. Probably before I was even born again, they were working on it. But ever since I heard about it, they've been working on it. And that's one thing about working in the ex-Soviet Union. You don't have too many expats there. So just this last year, I don't know, in my prayer tongue, I don't know how many years I prayed Paris, 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 Paris. They opened a Rhema in Paris. And they said, we're only going to have French speakers come and teach here. Then I got an email, Kathy, will you come teach Blood Covenant in the Paris Rhema? And I said, so I think we're mostly we're going to be in Switzerland. It's French-speaking Switzerland. You know that Switzerland, the south is French-speaking, the north is German-speaking, the southeast is Italian-speaking. Do they do another language? Those are the three I know about. So, and then I'm going to be in southern Germany, there, Rhema, and then I'm going to come on into northern Switzerland and minister there. And James is going to go for part of this. We haven't quite decided which part. He wants to go to Paris. Can you blame him? But I need him to catch for me in Toulouse, if he can ever learn to say it. Turn it loose in Toulouse. So that's us. That's us. And if you think about us, P-R-A-Y, and then rejoice. So, oh man, you know, the thing is, when you get with people that have so much light, what it does is like, it lights this part inside of you and that part in you. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to tell them that, I'm going to tell them that, I'm going to tell them that. Pastor, when I heard this, I thought, I'm going to have to tell Gary this. He will like this. but I'm not the person who saw it. I don't know if I'm going to phrase it correctly. I don't even know if there's language for it because it's kind of beyond your mentality. But there's a man, a young man, to me he's young, 40s. Some of you think that's old, but when you get to be 69, it's not so old. But he's been to heaven several times. And he talks about, I mean, who knows, you know, I don't know if I'm going to open scripture and everything on it. But he talks about that you're still being educated when you go there. And I've heard other people say that, that have been to heaven. He says some people, they've been before the throne for just eons. You know, from way back in the, who knows, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. And they haven't gotten out of that the throne room yet, whatever you learn. But he said, this is the thing with God. Now help me, because Gary, you will have the right words. I know you will. But God is not stagnant because he's full of life and he's potent. His creativity, things just keep developing. He isn't stagnant. He's, can you help me with words that can, do you understand even what I'm saying? Am I saying enough to, he doesn't, yes, God knows everything, but he's also creative. And so he just keeps, the universe just keeps expanding. Knowledge just keeps expanding. Light just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. And I thought about that when you were talking about the Father God not being a wrinkled old boring man. Active, always active. And then yesterday you were talking about prayer. And this is really where God's really been talking to me about sharing what I know so far about this kind of praying. And I wanted to start here with you all this week, because I kind of think we're kind of going in the prayer vein, aren't we, in the mornings? I don't know why I thought that, but anyway. So he was talking about, he worked all day, and he thought, I didn't even pray. And God said, we've been communing all along. So this is why growing up in Jesus, in the body of Christ, you have to learn to be God inside minded. Yes, indeed, he's up there on the throne, but he's also resident in us. And I may talk another day some more about the presence of God, but people are always looking for his presence. Now, understand, when we get together in corporate meeting, there's, and you know, our corporate anointings combine, and sometimes God does special things, you know, and we call that the presence of God. And it is the presence of God, but he is ever present in you and in me. And when I began, when I got light, because Pastor was saying it's not enough to have knowledge, you've got to have light. When I began to see this, because God is not just knowledge, God's an experience. He's living. He's ever living. And he's ever living in you and me. He's ever active in you and me. I love the story that Philip tells about having led the choir on, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And thought he did a stellar job. All right, I got it, I nailed it. And Dad stepped in, Brother Hagin, we call him Dad if you're not familiar, stepped into the pulpit and he said, well, he says, I don't look to the hills. I look in here. Okay, if any of you, I do this before, for a reason, and many of you, have taught this church this. Dad taught us this. If you sense the witness of the Holy Ghost in you, what part of your body do you sense him? Stand up and show everybody. Because you've got a prettier one than I do. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So everybody go like this. All right. And you say, He's present in me. All the time. He does never take a vacation. If I take a vacation, He comes with me. If I walk into a bar room, He stays on the outside, right? Okay, your doctrine's pretty good. They're coming along, Gary. They're getting it. And if you do, He'll be going, no, 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 no. Listen to that. That's what He's. He's your teacher. He's your guide. He shows you things to come. So much to say about the Holy Ghost. And so I had an experience. I've had these experiences before, but it's like, I don't know what to say. I'm getting utterance along these lines where I haven't maybe so much before. And maybe because my understanding has grown in these areas. But recently, I was praying. How do I want to say this? I go, when I'm in town, I go into the prayer room once a week at Raymond. And they have maps on the wall. And usually I'm over at the world map. And I was always kind of down on myself for that, because I thought, our nation is so needy, you know why? And I'd get in front of our nation and nothing. World, la 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 la. Our nation. You know, I say, we're going to go through the different things, you know. You'll follow me as I do this. But just recently, God enlightened me in an area. I won't say it's the answer, but it certainly is an answer, and it is a key that if you will take hold of it today and begin to use it, I believe that we will be able to turn some things around where our nation is concerned. Okay. I know. This is the other thing. I had a heavy revy before I started this. Anybody, get out your notebooks. Write this down. This is a heavy revy. You know what the heavy revy is? Some of you are just looking at me like. It means revelation, revy. Heavy revelation. Somebody asked me one time, boy, they were all ready for me. They had their notebook open, their pen ready to go. They turned their phone on to record what I said. Kathy, what was the most important thing you've ever learned about prayer? And I didn't know the answer came to me like this, just that fast. Because I knew what they were wanting, and I was like going, don't you put me on any pedestal. I'm just same flesh and blood you are, right? With the same wonderfulness on the inside of me. But anyway, I said, the most important thing that I've learned about prayer is the name of Jesus. Now, we had a little lady that was our partner and kind of old-timey Pentecost, you know. She'd call every once in a while for prayer. So one day I was out, and James took the call, and he prayed with her. But she couldn't accept that. It had to be me. And I don't know, we loved her. She's, you know, you just have to love people where they are, right? But it kind of riled me, because I said, well, honey, did you pray in the name of Jesus? Oh, yeah, he said, I did. And I thought, okay, she's not going to get what we pray for, because she didn't put her faith in the right thing. If you have the name of Jesus, if you know how to use the name of Jesus scripturally, your prayers are as, if you're a righteous man or woman, child, whatever, your prayers are every bit as powerful as anybody's prayer that was ever prayed. You said, what about the prayer Jesus prayed? Well, I'm praying in his name, aren't I? So it's just as powerful as if Jesus prayed it. I know, Ikem, it's time for the body to get a hold of this. I so much like what you had to say last night. I really did. Okay, so back to Pastor talking about this inward conversation that you have. And this experience I had in front of the map of the United States. So what I'm going to do is, these are scriptures that are familiar to all of you. But just stay with me, because it's a little different aspect. You know my song about the bear that went over the mountain to see what he could see? Does anybody know what he saw when he got to the other side of the mountain? You have no idea, Austin. I'm going to teach you another song. You ready? Yeah. The bear went over the mountain. You've never heard this song? The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. You have to feel sorry for the Ukrainian interpreters when I sing this over there. To see what he could see. What did the bear see? The other side of the mountain. The other side of the mountain. You learned this song, Austin? The other side of the mountain. You have to do that part. Mountain was all the bear could see. So same man. See, you're going to be sorry you came and sat right there, because I probably will pick on you all week. If it's not you, it's Jeff, so. So I'm just going to, it's going to be, when I get all through, you'll see why I did it the way I did. It's just Kathy way, God way, however you show it to me. So let's open to Isaiah 43, verse 26. How much time have we got? As long as it takes, huh? And these are all familiar verses. Some of you maybe not. I mean, this may be new to some of you, but this bunch here, if they don't know it, I'm going to turn them over my checkered apron. Put me in remembrance. And here's a little phrase that I have highlighted. Let us plead together. This is God talking, I guess, to Isaiah. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. This is King James. Okay, now I'm going to read it in the woman's version. Don't be going through your U version looking for the woman's version. It's the Amplified. Okay. This is what the Amplified says. Put me in remembrance. Remind me of your merits. So you can say, you can come right up to the throne of God and say, I'm your righteousness in Christ Jesus. You gave me a right to be here, and so I just came and thought I'd tell you. That's my merit. Jesus' blood made me righteous. Thank you very much, by the way, Father. Remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case, like setting it forth in a courtroom or something. This and this. Well, how are you going to plead your case? Where's your evidence? What evidence? Where's your evidence if you're going to plead a case in the court of God? Yeah. Word, I heard word over here somewhere, too. Okay. As long as these buttons last, we'll... Hallelujah. Set forth your case that ye may be justified, proved right. And I, like I say, I've had experiences like this probably all along. But like Pastor Gary was saying, you grow up. You get more and more familiar with how God speaks to you and deals with you. You get more and more familiar with his voice. I know him. I know his, I know my shepherd's voice. Another I will not follow. I know him. I know him. I know him. How'd you get there? I just read my Bible and prayed every day. How'd you get there, Adrienne? Same way. Yeah. And so he began to, I was pouring out my complaint before him. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you how I did it. And then he answered me back. Unplug that phone. Oh, demerit. We'll just turn one upside down. Turn that button upside down. So then let's look at Habakkuk or Habakkuk. It depends what country you're from, how you might say that name. I don't even know how the Hebrew speakers say it. And here is the prophet Habakkuk. And he said, chapter 2, verse 1. It's back where your pages stick together. Get an iPad. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see. This is, I'm thinking of this. I mean, I already had this, but then when Gary said it, it just really, when he was talking, this came, I got to thinking about this. And he was saying, sometimes... Boy, I wish you could say that phrase again. You probably can't pull it back up. But you're just all at once. You just see the whole picture on the inside of you. But that isn't how you put it. But that's how I put it. It's not like you hear a word and a word and a word and God and a voice. You know, God's voice like that. It's like you see something on the inside of you. You just get it all. And then you could put words to it. Is that what kind of what you were saying? Okay. Don't be shy. Anyway, that's me. And this is what Habakkuk was doing. He wasn't even a born-again man, but, you know, he had the prophet's anointing, obviously. And I will set me up on the tower and will watch to see. There's an inward seeing. And so, it's the truth. You go, okay, I see it. And you knew God spoke to you. You knew God. You knew his voice. You knew his voice. Well, Kathy, you're a minister and you're an old lady. You know, you just know these things because you've been around so long. It is for everyone. It's the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost, by the way, to take of his and show it. We could look that scripture up, but I've got too many scriptures as it is. show it unto you. Talking about prayer is communing with God, talking to God, and God talking to you. Now, most of us think prayer is us talking to God and silence on the other end. Oh, don't give me that look. See, I've walked a mile in your moccasins. Yeah. And I will tell you, I do. Adrienne can vouch. The Webbers can vouch. If you come to these prayer sessions we have in the afternoons, they can vouch. I'm a very talkative prayer. I can go a long time, a lot longer than you all can. You all wear out, I have to quit. But I do more. I kind of feel like Paul sometimes. I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. But I spend more time listening than I do speaking. And that is when he has something to say. He's kind of a gentleman. Sometimes he'll interrupt you, you know, when you're praying, because I can't get hold of you any other way. Bless God's heart. But when I'm listening, how do you listen? You just sit in your chair and get in your pretzel shape and I'm washing the dishes, I'm ironing the clothes, I'm driving the car, I'm doing the shopping. But I'm always here. In God, inside minded. Brother Hagin used to use that expression. I can't improve on it, so I won't even try. He is in. He's not just in Kelly Creek. He's not just in Pastor Gary. He's in you. And he has, we wore Austin out, bless his heart. He's in you. Say, thank you, Father. Say it. Thank you, Father, that you're in me. And you speak to me. And you show me what I need to know. So I watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So let's look at Abraham. Like I say, these are all familiar scriptures pleading his case. They're just an example. I was just going to go down to the last one, and then I thought, no, you have to see how it's a back and forth thing. God will tell you something, and then you will say, whatever, you know, like, explain that to me, or but this or but that. You know what I'm saying? Genesis 18:17. Now see, God was like this under the Abrahamic covenant. This wasn't even the Mosaic covenant. This was the Abrahamic covenant. God has always wanted to talk to us. He's been always trying to catch our ear. Then he came and dwelt on the inside of us, and we still ignore him. We don't believe it. I will tell you that. It's a faith failure. We don't believe that he did what he said he would do. Anytime you're looking for the answer to come from the outside, give yourself a shake. Because it'll come from in here. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? See, he wants to work with us. He wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. God and Son. seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And I could show you how God knew that, but we won't go there today because of the luncheon. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because the cry of the sin in the earth is great, because this cry of sin and destruction in the United States is great, We aren't little. Well, they said it's not true that ostriches don't really hide their heads in the sand, because they'd smother, you know. But you understand what I'm saying. We're not being, what's the word? We're not living in denial. We know that it's great. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham, everyone say, but Abraham. Then say, I'm the seed of Abraham. So we ought to act like Abraham in some respects, really Jesus, but. Because Jesus is the seed of Abraham. You understand that? But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. It reminded me of what you were saying about Elijah last night. Where does it say in the Bible, when did he pray that it would not rain? Well, he came and stood before the Lord. Like you were standing in your garden. Like I was, you know, standing over the ironing board. Whatever. Before the Lord, just standing before the Lord. Then it says, and Abraham drew near. How do you draw near? You just think. I'll tell you, your mouth will help you with this so much. If you just, whenever you see your brain wandering the wrong way, your brain will just wander the wrong way. I mean, you just constantly have to keep that renewed. I was going to use a dirty word, but I won't. Well, it wasn't dirty, it was just vulgar. This is how you draw near to God. You say, Father, I thank you that I'm in your presence. What does it mean to be in somebody's presence? Well, it means to stand before them, doesn't it? Well, if he's in you, you don't have to wait for him to show up. He done did it. It's a done deal. Like it or not, he's present in you. Okay, here's another one. Feel it or not. Yes. This is where it breaks down, isn't it? I don't have goosebumps. The hair on my arm isn't standing up. I don't feel all lightheaded and giddy. Well, you don't want to do that when you're ironing your clothes, anyway. No? Just say, Father, I thank you. I'm in your presence. That you're present in me. That, you know, I just do that to yourself. Just take a minute and say that. Father, I thank you that I'm in your presence. That your presence is in me. Does that do something to you? Actually, I got a goosebump when I said that. Oh, it's the air conditioning. No. It's true whether you feel it or see it, or smell it, or touch it, or taste it. It's realer than any of that. And Abraham drew near. That's how you draw near to God. Just acknowledged him. And said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Oh, he's pleading his case. Because as Ekim so eloquently pointed out last night, he was in covenant with God. See, that's how God knew that he'd command his family. his whole, I don't know how many hundreds of servants, male servants he had, they all, when he said, be circumcised, they all got circumcised. How many of you guys, the pastor stood up and said, okay, guys, God said we all have to be circumcised. Who'd be first in line? Jeff's feelings are going to be hurt. He's usually one that takes the brunt of all of this. No, who was first in line where this, when Abraham did this, who was the first one to be circumcised? Who said that? Okay, smiley button for you. Yeah, I knew you were. Hallelujah. He was a covenant man. He cut a covenant with God. God cut a covenant with him. He knew who he was. He knew a little bit about righteousness, not like we know righteousness, but in respect of this old covenant, he knew a little bit about righteousness. And he said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Okay, simple question. How many righteous do we have in the United States? How many righteous do we have in Delavan? How many righteous do we have in Wisconsin? And the list goes on. I could go down the list, but I won't. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Well, I'd say in Delavan, you have 50 righteous. Easy. They're probably easy. I don't head count here, but maybe 50 righteous here even right now. Within the city wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50? See, his whole case was based on righteousness. On covenant. On the blood. Not any works of good works that he'd done. Because Abraham didn't always get everything straight. That be far from thee, in verse 25, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. Is God going to deal with the righteous in our nation the same way he would deal with the wicked? No, the truth be told, he wants everybody in our nation to be righteous. Now, we won't say they all will make that choice, but they should all have the opportunity. Hallelujah. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, and that be far from thee. Because he knew God. He knew about covenant, and he knew God. And he knew that he had some privileges in this covenant that the wicked didn't have. And the Lord said, plead your case. See, they're talking back and forth. They're having a conversation. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And I will skip all of this because of time. And we know he went. I'll tell you how he went. And Abraham said 45. And God answered him, said, 45. Then Abraham spake to him again. And he said 40. Lord said, 40. And he did 30. And he did 20. And then he got down to verse 32. And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Older and lesser covenant, I will remind you." Well, we know the story that God couldn't find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he destroyed those cities, but he did not destroy the righteous. The righteous escaped. He made a way of escape for them. Sent angels. I assume they were angels. Abraham had a covenant with God. Abraham was a friend of God. We have a new and better covenant with God. We are the sons of God. And truth be told, so is Abraham now. Okay. And I already went over this, but I have it in my notes, so I'll just say it again. I haven't done a scientific survey. I'm probably right. But I think we can safely say there are more than 10 righteous in every city in the United States and every town. And you think about this. He agreed Sodom and Gomorrah, 10 in two cities. Now, the body's going to have to step up, but we are. It's what we're doing here this week, right? Hallelujah. If God would do it for a righteous man under a lesser covenant, how much more us? Right. I'll just read this now. I'm not sure where to plug all this in, but let's turn then to 1 Timothy 2:1. And if you have a ribbon in your Bible, just put the ribbon there because we'll come back and look at this again. And if you have an iPad, well, you can click to it. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority." I'm just going to stop there. And this is a question I'm going to ask you. How many of you here, this is kind of a rhetorical question, but you can raise your hand if you want, because I'm pretty sure about most of you, maybe not all of you. How many of you here have made supplication for all men and all those who are in authority at some point? Just one, two, three. Okay. How many of you here have made prayers for that same group? Yeah, you can wave at me. I'm not going to shoot you. Just Austin. How many of you have made intercession for those groups? Okay. All right. Just check it. So you've done the word, right? This is just something I'm going to insert it just because it's in my notes. Now, this is the thing I want to help you with. Maybe I'll say it here. Ekim said something last night, and he said it so quick, I don't know how many of you got it. When he was talking about David and Goliath, this is Kathy's interpolation. The children of Israel were looking at the giant. David was looking at their covenant. Did you hear him phrase it that way? Stellar, stellar, stellar. let that sit and percolate down. Or I know you're supposed to percolate up, but I see it sinking into you. Hallelujah. And so now this is the deal. There's much going on in this sinful world. The Bible is very clear. It's going to increase. We're in birth pains. The earth is groaning. You know, it's not just the people. Were we talking about that yesterday about the earth groaning? It's not just the people. It's the actual, the whole creation. Run a few statistics, Gary, because not everybody gets to hear you on your end time. How many volcanoes went off in this last year, maybe? Roughly? Speak in the mic.
There's probably about 40 every day, but in the year 1900, they had a 6.0 every 10 years. And now we have a 6.0 a couple times a week. And so it's gone from once every 10 years to a couple times a week. We average,
yeah, that's okay, because I was going to ask you about earthquakes.
Yeah, they're connected, obviously.
Yeah.
Volcanoes, about 25 anywhere on planet Earth on an average, but sometimes we'll hit 40 or 45, an occasional 50 going off at the same time, and, of course, the corresponding earthquakes that are with them. So, you know, when I see the earthquakes in the end times prophecy, I include volcanoes in, because without, they all have the same phenomena together.
And then tell them how many wars there are going on at any given time.
An average of 60 wars go on at any given time, about 35 major wars and 25 border wars, tribal wars and such. They include terrorism, and they include the war on drugs. They mix all those in that people are shooting each other and dying. But typically, if you count on up, they figure that at any point in time right now, there's just like 60 wars going on somewhere.
Yeah, and James and I, he said he didn't quite catch it. He was listening to the news. I think there's a coup in Sudan. Yeah. So this is going on. The Bible told us it was going on. The Bible told us that it had to happen, because I'll tell you what. There are few people that have just been looking here, and they will look up. And they'll find redemption. Nothing else will get their attention. It just knocks all the support systems out from under you. And where are you going to look then? They're going to look at the the light set on a hill. The body of Christ, and we're going to tell them where their help comes from. I can tell somebody's liking this. They're like going, yum, yum, yum. Okay, so we're supposed to pray for all, you know, for these people, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How can you do that when everything, all this stuff is going on? I don't know, but this is what the Bible says. See, this is what the Bible says. If you try to figure it out with your intelligence, you're going to fail every time, because I don't care how intelligent you are. I think Gary's probably off the charts with his intelligence. But human intelligence can't comprehend. We are not equipped to comprehend that. But we are equipped to say, this is what the Bible says. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Pourquoi, the French would say. Why? Why do we want to... Why does God want us to have a quiet and peaceable life? So we can just la 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 in our Cadillacs and our mansions and our dripping with diamonds and eating beefsteak every night. Is that the reason? I mean, he's glad for us to do that, but that is not the reason. I have not read the word Cadillac in the Bible one time. Never. I think I read the word colt once, but oh, private joke. Yes, I knew Jeff would get it eventually. No, what's the reason? Help me, help me, help me. You know, this is a two-way street. I like a congregation to be like God is with me. We're going to tell you something, you're going to answer me back, right? Why do we need this? Well, that's good, but just answer me from the Bible. Read verse 4. Read it to me. Somebody, everybody. I don't know, Ekim. Are your sons like this too? Did your mama spoil you? What is the knowledge of the truth? That's, usually we don't read down these verses, but I'm going to do them this morning. How good are we on time? How are we doing? Okay. All right. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. Jesus. That's what. That's why we pray. Not just so life can be easy for us. The reason we want it, what we want easy is we want to easily access the lost. We want a nation that we can freely preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where we can assemble ourselves together. Do you know that they are writing a law in Russia that says you can't assemble yourselves together? It's against the law. They'll put you in prison and fine you. That missionaries have to have a work permit to get. Yeah, I wonder how many work permits they're going to pass out for missionaries. If Barry and Adrienne can be here one prayer day, I believe we're going to go that way one day in prayer. I want to explore it. You probably have some things already. I want to hear what you have. Anyway. Who gave himself a ransom for a few people. For, my Bible says, A-double-L. And my husband always says, all means all. He preaches to me every morning when we do our devotions. To be testified in due time, whereunto I'm ordained a preacher. That's what I'm ordained to do. That's what Ekim's ordained to do. What Jeff, Cindy, pastors, missionaries are ordained to do. Hallelujah, lost my place. Where am I? Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. This is a prayer chapter. He's telling us how to pray for the harvest. Wake up. Now, why was this whole chapter written to one of his lieutenants, one of his main guys, one of his main pastors that he raised up under his apostleship? Why did he write this in a letter to him? Did he say, Timothy, this is just good for this time and age. When you're dead, it won't be good anymore. It was heaven's instruction to the body of Christ how to get this job done. Okay. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I think this will slip along a little quicker because we're running out of time. Are we supposed to eat at 12? Yeah, okay. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All right. Classic scripture. Let me first point out. He said, if all the people in America will pray, right? Who did he say was supposed to pray? Okay. Here's the next thing on the checklist. Who are what? How many of you are called by his name? If you're not, get saved, gang. You're not waving your hand at me, but oh well, I can't make you. Then do what? Humble themselves. Now here, okay, I'll wait and ask the question later. Humble themselves and do what? Pray. Do what? Seek my face. Do what? Okay, here's my question. How many of you in here are his people? All right, so check that off. How many of you in here are called by his name? Okay, we'll check that off. How many of you in here have humbled yourselves and prayed? Check that off. How many of you in here have sought his face? Gary didn't get to see his face. How many of you in here have turned from your wicked ways? If you have not, now's the day to do it. Now, yes, in your outward man, you will mess up. You'll even sin, but thank God we have an advocate. But this, you know, this is Old Testament, so, you know, we have to get these scriptures saved to apply correctly to us. But I'm telling you, when you were born again, what did you become? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You turned from your wicked ways. Now, you may kind of be tripping up on some of the old lifestyle, but if you'll stay, if you'll read your Bible and pray every day and come to church and do what the Bible tells you to do, do your very best, I'm telling you, you'll grow up and those things will drop off of you. They'll just wither and die and drop off of you and you won't have a problem with them anymore. But when the day you were born again, you fulfilled that point on the checklist. You became a righteous man, generically speaking. Check it off. Okay. God's checklist. What did he say he would do if we fulfilled that checklist? Hear from heaven. Forgive their sin. And heal their land. Now, God said that under a lesser covenant. Here's a question. Now, you know, the thing is, we give mental assent to this, but do we really believe? Did God lie to us? Now, did that come out of your head because you knew the right answer? You've been to Sunday school? There's a difference. Pastor Gary told us there was a difference. Or do you know that God would never lie to you? Do you know that he's not a man that he would lie? He doesn't even have lie in his vocabulary. He doesn't have lie in his DNA. There's nothing lie about him. He is the truth. Let this sink down. I want you, because I'm telling you, when I stood before the map of the United States and he began to plead his case with me, because I said to him, okay, God, I did this.